Good morning. In reference to the last paper, I will be giving a paper at Phytopath, hopefully this summer, using Vic genes and vegetative compatibility to address some of these same questions. And our conclusions will indeed be that the California strain is completely unique. It is derived from race 4. It's a vegetative clone from the race 4 from India, known as early as the 1930s. And the material in Mississippi is something different and unique, probably a fringe element of race 2. Regarding here, I'd like to report some of our new germplasm. This has been derived, go to the first slide here. This is germplasm that's been derived from Gossypium barbadense, the accession number GB713. Robinson first reported that this barbadense line would suppress a reniform nematode by about 90 to 95% over an 8-week period of time, so it was a new alternative source for reniform resistance. He did extensive breeding until his retirement in 2008. I picked up the program at that time and did additional hybridization work with it and started doing marker identification that could be used to follow the resistance. A more thorough paper was published in 2010 by Gutierrez, Osmond Gutierrez, and the group at Mississippi. They concluded that there were three QTLs that could be associated with the resistance, which they distinguished as RenBarb 1, RenBarb 2, and RenBarb 3. In our own studies, not published, completed just prior to that, we had found that nearly all of the resistance could be associated with what was called RenBarb 2, with a very minor contribution from RenBarb 3. In 2012, last April, we released the first material from this breeding program, which is distinguished as Barbarin 713. Barbarin 713 has a complete nematode resistance package in it, that is, it's resistant to both root knot and reniform. It carries the REN2 and REN3 genes from GB713 and the MI1 and MI2 genes from M315R and R. It has been beautiful in the field, both 2011 and 2012. I have found no bad reports from it. We've had seen outstanding performance at about 8 different sites in 2011, and I haven't got together with Neelish and Ted Wallace and whatnot, but it was tested at many more sites in 2012 and continued to look great at all those locations. This is simply a view of Barbarin 713 in the Brazos River Valley. It's a very robust, hardy cotton. Seedling vigor is outstanding. It has appreciable greater seedling mass by 3 to 4 weeks over any of the commercial varieties. Here you see it compared with Delta Pine 5415 at the end of the field where there was little nematode pressure and both cultivars did well. We also compared this over the entire length of this field as far as yield is concerned at 4 reps per tier for each of these two cultivars. The number one tier is on the upper end of the field where the irrigation water is introduced via gated pipe. The nematode populations tend to be somewhat lower. Well, they are somewhat lower and have been consistently for 3 or 4 years at that end of the field where the water is introduced. And at the bottom of the field where the rows are diked to catch the irrigation water, and after years of irrigation, the clay content is higher in those soils. The nematodes there, too, are much lower. In the parts of the field from tier 6 through 11, where the nematode pressure is the highest, you can see that Barbarin 713 outperformed the best non-transgenic commercial cultivar significantly. When the pressure was down, it did not yield appreciably more or in some cases a little less than the commercial cultivar. Last year at the improvement conference, we reported some more advanced breeding lines, also derived from Dr. Robinson's material. This material is outstanding in the field. You can see here that when compared with different commercial cultivars, we received a mean increase in yield of 60% over commercial cultivars using these various Barberin lines. If you look at the bottom row there, you can see Tamcott Sphinx compared with three different bar lines, but bar 41 is the one I'd call your attention to because it has outstanding fiber quality and it also doubled or tripled the yield of Barbadense in six different progeny rows. This simply shows a comparison of the bar 41 with Tamcott Sphinx. You can see the much higher fruiting on the plant. It fruits much more to the top. The total yield here with the bar 41 was almost three times that of the Tamcott Sphinx. Sphinx was the elite product of the MAR program at A&M and was developed largely on this field. So this is a tremendous increase in productivity on this product field over what once was the premier variety here. We took six of these progeny rows, bar 41, and made composites of them. That is, the seed from were bulk harvested and mixed. And this was used as a basis for comparison in 2012 with various over 330 progeny rows derived from the different bar families. We also noted that the bar lines in general had better fiber quality, particularly UHM and strength, than did the Barberin 713 and, of course, the commercial varieties. So it appeared that we could make some sizable gains in quality by using the bar material and still retain the nematode resistance. In experiment one, which is shown here, we compared bar 41 with Barberin 713 to see if it did have appreciable value in increasing yield and increasing quality. I won't bother to read this to you. You can see the complete details. The good news is that we compared 15 paired rows through the length of our field, both in the side of the field where nematode pressure was high, and in a side of the field where nematode pressure was relatively low. When I say low, it still was above threshold level, but in the high level case, it was almost 10 times threshold level. The important thing is that we got highly significant increases in yield, seed cotton, and fiber from the bar 41 compared to the Barberin 713. And you can see that the advantages of bar 41 were even greater when the nematode concentrations were high than when they were low. But it was significant even with low nematode pressure, which has not been true of bar 713. Here we can see in far as fiber quality, we have a tremendous increase in fiber length in bar 41 over 713, a UHM of 126 compared to 116. Again, a highly significant difference. We have a small increase in uniformity and strength, so that, again, we have made progress in this respect. Again, these differences were most striking with the high nematode concentrations than with the low. Here you simply see a comparison of the mean nematode concentrations plus minus the standard error at the end of the season in these plots. Overall, we saw these are fields that have been in continuous cotton production probably for at least 42 years with a severe reniform problem. Under these conditions, the bar 713 gave us only a 23% suppression over the course of the season. Bar 41, on the other hand, gave us a 38% suppression. So bar 41 is also giving us better nematode control, even though it has fewer of the QTLs than the bar 713. The other experiment we did was to compare 330 progeny rows derived from 20 different bar families, 4 to 38 rows per family, with the 41 composite to see if we had material that even have better potential than the bar 41. Here you can see this simply shows that The derivatives from six of the bar families that actually outperformed the 41 composite. The one that really excites us is the bar 8, which you see at the top. We only had four rows of this. This is a new entry into the program. But we had an average yield here of 3.92 bales per acre on lands where we struggled previously with commercial varieties to try to even get 2 bales per acre. As a percent of bar, you can see this represents almost an additional 34% increase in yield over the bar lines. Down through, you can see all of these lines. If you look at the range on the right, all of these had some lines that were 20 to 50, 40% higher. We will go back with these lines for further evaluation in 2013 to see how much further we can actually take yield potential. If we look at quality, again, the bar number 8 is outstanding. It has a UHM of 126, the mean for all both the four lines, and a UI of 85.8, an appreciable jump in uniformity, and a strength of 34.9, appreciable jump in strength. So, and all of these lines have excellent fiber quality. Some of them, the length is not quite as great as the other, but as you can see, we have multiple lines within these, so we have room for further selection. This simply shows the next group coming down the line. These are those that did not perform quite as well as 41, but still have individual rows in there that have selection potential. Looking at the quality, again, you can see there's, particularly for length, a number of these have a lot of potential, again, for getting that 1 1/4 inch length fiber. And there's some more potential here. You can see some 86s in uniformity. You can see some 34s, 33s in strength, so it looks like there's more potential here as well. In conclusion, the performance of the bar 41 lines justifies release as a new germplasm reline. I will be starting to write this up as a new germplasm release, and hopefully we can get it to the public as soon as possible. Further improvements in yield, fiber properties, and possibly pest resistance appear to be present in the other lines of the bar families, and they will be evaluated further this year, especially looking at the bar 8 line to see if we possibly can do another variety or germplasm release next year. Thank you.
Time for questions.
Pest resistance, do you have, were you referring specifically to the nematodes?
No, this is the beauty of this stuff is, why it's performing so well in the field is that it has resistance to far more than reniform nematode. GB713 and some of these by themselves without MI genes will suppress root knot nematode about 60% as well. But more importantly, they seem to have resistance to the whole soil fungal complex. We've done verticillium, both defoliating, non-defoliating, race 1, fusarium, flaviopsis, rhizoctonia. You get significant increases in resistance in all of these pathogens singly or with the nematode. So they're much more resistant to the fungal reniform complex, which the longicalyx resistance turned out to be extremely vulnerable to. The combination of the resistance gene with the longicalyx and the fungi turned out to be a disaster and give you extreme stunting in the field. These materials in mixed fungal nematode fields actually give you a tremendous increase in seedling vigor and perform much better than commercial varieties. The exact resistance mechanism, I have no idea, but it is across several organisms. We've seen it may have some even resistance to some of the sucking and rasping insects. But I don't have quantitative data. I have quantitative on these other quantitative data on them. Yes?
Have you looked at these lines with and without telone to see the effect of the gene?
No, I haven't. Well, the other thing I can, should add here, though, we do not use seed treatments and we do not use in-furrows. We go into the field, we're getting excellent stand and seedling performance without any chemistry. Yes?
B2K is missing in bar 41 compared to C17.
Is? Oh, the root knot resistance QTLs and the REN3 QTL. Yeah. They have the REN1 and the REN barb 1, REN barb 2 QTL. That's about a 15 centimorgan section out of chromosome 21. And all these beneficial effects seem to be coming from largely from that section of chromosome 21. As soon as I can get the paperwork approved, it took me almost a year to get Barbarin 13 approved. Hopefully, having gone through that recently, we can get administrators to come in line and follow with us. So I have the seed in hand for the release. It's just a matter of getting the paperwork.
Thank you, Dr. Bell.